This episode of The Seminarian is sponsored by Asbury Theological Seminary. Hey guys, and welcome to The Seminarian, where we talk about seminary life, theology, and the things that form us as Christians. I'm Josh.
And I'm Joe.
And in today's episode, we're talking about book reviews.
Noun, a student in a theological seminary.
Duh. Book reviews. So we're going to take book reviews from a couple of categories. We're going to talk about kind of our favorite academic book or academic book that we recommend, one that we've read recently in seminary that we've been enjoying, kind of just more personal interest books, and then one that we kind of keep coming back to. So first off,
without further ado,
here's season one, The Seminarian Book Recommendations. I highly recommend this book called The Bible, The Holy Bible. Sorry to be that guy, but we have to. It's called like Bible Lust or something to that degree. I know it's basically premium goatskin Bibles are, we have to talk about it on this show. It's just, we have to. If you are a serious seminary student, this is what you want for Christmas right here. This is a Schuyler goatskin. This is the NASB 36 GSM, the gilded, not gilded, it is a guilty pleasure, but the gilded golden pages.
Oh yeah.
It's a thing. Premium Bibles is like a whole cult in and of itself.
It is its own culture within Christendom.
Yeah, I don't even, this is horrible. I barely even read this Bible.
Oh my gosh.
I just love, I mean,
talk
it's
about
so,
a confession.
I know, to the whole internet.
I barely read the Bible.
This is just so nice. I just don't want to like, there's another Bible that I'll throw in my bag and it gets kind of.
You know, I mean, I have the same Bible, right? Different color and tone, but I mark in it. Yeah.
I could never, not in this one.
I have Mark, and I started highlighting, so it took me a while, though.
Let's see it.
Initially you, like, I'll highlight a little bit, and kind of shows up neon on the...
Oh, it's like a laser tag Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty cool.
yeah, so, but it took me a while. I mean, at first, when you first get it, and you unbox it, it's just, like, perfect. You don't want to mark it.
You don't even want to read it.
You keep it in the box when you carry it around.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't look at it. It's like, don't look at it.
My Bible. How dare you look at it?
No, it's so supple. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think we're going to have to change the rating of this, this podcast.
It smells so good, dude. Oh, gosh. I have issues.
Honestly, I mean, it's just like, you know, the tabernacle was covered, you know, goatskin.
That's right. There's something more biblical about goatskin.
Biblical. It's biblical.
So you can get these, by the way.
Our PETA friends out there.
There's other premium Bibles. So there's like the Allen Bible. I have one of those. Well, I don't like it as much as Schuyler. Schuyler is the way to go. I think you can get one of these.
For quality, for just craftsmanship.
Yeah.
Top notch.
I think it's made in, what is it, like, Youngblood,
the Netherlands,
I think. Something like that. They've got documentaries on how they make these Bibles. You watch that documentary, you're going to be spending, you know, $250 on a Bible.
Yeah,
but
seriously though, I think it's worth it. Because some people are like, oh, why would you spend that much on that Bible? I'm like, well, why would you spend so much on your phone? You know, like you use your phone every day. Well, you're going to use your Bible every day. You might as well get a nice quality Bible that's going to last you years. And if I get to hand this Bible down to my grandkids, that'd be awesome.
It's awesome.
You know?
Yeah. You want a Bible that makes you want to read it.
Yeah.
Or a Bible that's so nice you don't want to read it. I'm going to start reading this one more. It's just, it's so pristine and, okay.
The thing is, though, and with Schuyler's, because I've had other quality Bibles, despite the fact I've had this for several years now and I've read through it multiple times, writing, marking, it's the quality is still high. It still feels like,
oh yeah,
it's not, it doesn't feel like a really used Bible yet,
right?
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it folds open like for preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, sometimes like it's just flat.
Yeah,
which is so nice. It comes with three ribbons, which is great for when you're, you know, preaching or doing a Bible study. You're able to reference those places very quickly.
Yep.
And it is really just, it's got some awesome maps in the back. It's got a few blank pages for notes and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just got that goat skin. I mean, just leather that just is, pick one up today. So that's the first recommendation. Maybe every time we do these recommendation episodes, we'll bring out a new.
We'll just start with the Bible every single time.
Premium Bible for you guys to join our covetousness. Which is horrible, but okay. The first category, though, is academic book. So, kind of again, these are very arbitrary, big categories, but this is something to the effect of like, this is a scholarly work. It's definitely going to be very informative. It's going to say something assertively. It's high regard in that category. So, what was your pick for a book recommendation in the academic category?
Yeah. In the academic category, my book recommendation would be, it's called The God of Israel and Christian Theology by R. Kendall Solon. And you can see it here.
Nice.
It's a really short book, actually. Not a long read, just under 200 pages. But if you're really interested in biblical narrative and the way that the biblical narrative has been shaped throughout Christian history, this book is, it's a great introduction for that and also a good critique. So you can kind of hear what might be some of the issues that revolve around biblical narrative, the story of Israel and how Israel's story fits into the biblical narrative and
Nice. Mm-hmm. So you would recommend that book for people who want to know maybe more about Israel's role in the biblical narrative and.
Yeah. It's really good if you're interested, yeah, in Israel's biblical role or just the way the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together as well.
Awesome. Yep. Very cool. Okay. I'm cheating a little bit with my academic one, but I'm cheating in two ways. It's actually kind of two books, but it's one book, and that book is the Bible. But
you cheater.
I know, but here's the deal. This is... I was really excited when these came out. And I mean, the first one came out. It's called The First Testament. It's a translation by John Golden Gay about just trying to use the most literal Hebrew vernacular and translation that's still in English. And so it's interesting because it's going to get...
That's a tall order.
Yeah, it's going to get all of those subtleties and particularities about Hebrew. You know, so for instance, when you read about God's anger, like he's slow to wrath, maybe, or slow to anger in English, it's going to say like he has a long nose because that was the Hebrew idiom for describing anger or being slow to have a hot burning face and stuff like that. So it just has some really interesting translations where you're able to pick that up. But I don't know Hebrew yet. I haven't taken Hebrew. And so it's kind of like a middle ground of preparing me for some of that, but it's still in English.
That's cool.
It's just very, so this is...
Very nice.
This is the First Testament. And then Scott McKnight wrote the Second Testament. So this is the New Testament. And I should show this. Yeah, there we go. And this is very short. It also shows you how small it is. I think the pages are way thinner, though.
What does the pages look like?
So it looks like a Bible.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
double column.
But, you know, it's going to say Jesus instead of Jesus. It's going to have so it's the most literal Greek. And again, this is one person's translation. So it's not like a team of translators. So, you know, the credibility on that, I mean, these are great authors, great Bible scholars, but it's, the attempt is just to try to capture the very particular way that these things that were written that sometimes you lose in English. And it's really cool on this one. I'm also bragging a little bit. I was emailing with Scott McKnight. He and I are besties. Sorry, Joe. And he sent me this little book cover.
Aww.
For my birthday. Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's very sweet.
Yeah. So shout out to Scott McKnight. Thanks, man. Really appreciate the book.
So a quick question.
Yeah.
Is it in paragraph format or verse by verse? Or
it
how does
is, it is verse by verse, which obviously everybody knows that there weren't original verses or paragraphs or any of those things in the original writings, but that way you can still reference it. So I actually use this, again, because I'm not like a Greek scholar or anything like that. I use this in my homework a lot of the times, just kind of in place of an interlinear or something, because I don't got those skills yet. So this is a good recommendation. If you don't know Greek, you start with this, and I think you'll get a flavor for it.
Flavor.
Flavor, flave.
All right, what's our next category?
Next category, in the opposite direction, not that these books aren't scholarly or intelligent, at least, but like a mainline book, okay? So the idea was, okay, if I don't want to get like crazy nerdy, what's just like a good book on Christianity that you would recommend, either on theology, Christian formation, that is, you could buy it at like Mardell's or on Amazon or wherever. So what would be your recommendation for this category?
I don't have it here with me, but it would be, it's called, Green Letters by, Miles Stanford.
Yep. Miles Stanford.
And it's a pretty old book. And
he was from Colorado Springs. That's where we are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
Pretty
sure he's from our city.
That's nice. It's basically a Christian formation book. It walks through principles of Christian growth, spiritual growth. And they're really short chapters, but pretty profound, and really does speak to a lot of areas of life that, in a very biblical way, too, which I really appreciate. And I find myself always kind of coming back to it as well.
I pulled it up on my iPad.
Oh, nice.
It looks like that.
Not always, though. That's like...
is this the older one?
I don't.
There's different editions.
Yeah, there's different covers and stuff. But it's the Green Letters. There's the Complete Green Letters, which is longer, and then there was like a shorter version, just the Green Letters.
Got it.
I recommend the shorter one because it's just easier to read and get through. But
it's like an exposition of Romans, what, 6-8 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's one that you want to take a lot of time, just kind of reading through and meditating on the different concepts and stuff. Yeah.
It's good for like small groups too. We've done it in a small group setting before. Yeah. And, you know, everybody reads a little bit and you talk about it afterwards.
That was where I was first introduced to it, was in a small group.
At Bible college, when we went to Bible college.
So, exactly.
Yeah. Great book. Okay. Mine is kind of very popular right now, Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. Be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. And this is about, just spiritual formation and looking at the life of Jesus and the ways that we can integrate these, I don't want to say spiritual disciplines, but like these rhythms of grace into our lives. Hmm. And I'm not very far, but my wife and I are reading it, and I'm actually reading it with a mentor figure too.
Oh, so nice.
It feels like everybody's reading this book right now. And it's pretty cheap. I think I bought this at Mardell's for like $16. They're having
that's
a sale.
Not bad.
Nice. Practicing the Way.
Nice.
All right. Next category. This is a book that you like from seminary. One that you maybe read in a course that you took and that you found this is very informative.
Yeah. For me, the book that I recommend from seminary would be the New Testament Rhetoric. Let's see that. By Ben Witherington and Jason Myers.
B-dubs Trace.
Yep. For our very own Asbury.
Professor.
Biblical studies professor. And I highly recommend it. I wasn't very familiar with New Testament Rhetoric. And so I took the New Testament Introduction class, and this was one of the required readings, and I thought it was really good. It was really insightful, an entirely different way of reading and understanding the New Testament that's really more consistent with its context and how it would have been understood and written. So, yeah.
And Ben Witherington III is like one of the top,
legendary,
top Bible scholars.
Legend.
I mean, very few people know biblical Greek better or even as good as him.
Yeah.
And he's at Asbury.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. This might be a good spot here. Let me cue the music. Hold on. All right. I get to read an ad. The Seminarian is made possible by our sponsor, Asbury Theological Seminary. That's where we're at. It's a multi-denominational graduate school of theology called to teach the unchanging truth of Christianity. And we have learned so much from our professors at Asbury. And hey, you can too. Did you know that over 80% of incoming students received scholarships last year? I actually just got awarded a scholarship yesterday for the next semester, nice. Which is really awesome. Thank you, Asbury. And many students graduate without tuition debt. So discover how Asbury Seminary makes theological education accessible by visiting asburyseminary.edu/seminarian. They even made like a little forward slash for us for the podcast. Yeah, it's nice. I think you don't get a discount if you use, but you, again, there's scholarships.
There you go.
So that's fantastic. All right, I'm turning the music off.
All right.
Back to book reviews.
It was a good ad.
It was. We were talking about Ben Worthington III, so I felt like it was a good segue.
Good plug.
Okay, my book that I recommend that I read last semester from my class, Vocation of Ministry, is this book. Actually, I really recommend it. It's called Ministry in the Image of God. It's by Stephen Siemens, who is a professor at Asbury as well, IVP Publishing. And this is about the Trinitarian shape of Christian service or ministry. And what this book is about is basically that when we think about ministry, it's ministry with God rather than ministry to God. I think that a lot of the ideas here is that our ministry should be a reflection of the Trinity rather than some kind of modern conception of ministry. We need to think of it as abiding and leading others to abide in him. And honestly, this is high praise, but I feel like if I had read this sooner, it would have, I mean, I've been in vocational ministry now for 17 years almost. Wow. And I think this would have really saved me a lot of grief. I think I developed kind of a toxic relationship, not totally, but in some ways in ministry, that if I had read this, it would have saved me some of that. So highly recommend. And again, this is another Asbury book. So thank you, Asbury.
Nice.
Okay. Next category, a book of interest that you would recommend. So this is just stuff that you like reading and nerding out about and recommending that to our listeners.
Book of interest. This one was a hard one. This is a hard category because I, if you like look on my Amazon search list, you know, it's like so many books that I'm like going back to. I'm like, oh man, I want to read that one. I want to read that one.
Yep.
So it's this is a difficult one for me. And in some ways I'm like, I'd rather think about it like a certain author that I'd rather read or one I'm really interested in reading their stuff. One author in particular is Richard Bauckham.
Yeah.
All my stuff is
I was just reading him yesterday.
Academic, actually. Nerdy stuff. That's what I like. Yeah. But I really want to read I think it's Gospels as Eyewitnesses. I think that's the title. Gospels as Eyewitness.
Nice.
And he walks through an argument for why we should read the Gospels as eyewitness accounts, as opposed to form criticism, which viewed them primarily as just traditions handed down and so forth. Formed within certain communities and stuff. But I've heard a lot of good things about that book.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have one with you that you would also recommend as an interest?
I actually don't.
Okay, fine.
Unfortunately. Sorry, guys.
Shame. Okay, I'm in a homiletics program. I love that homiletics is preaching. And I love biographies about great preachers. And I just, the whole field is awesome. So my book of interest is a 2-volume set. And it's called The Legacy of Preaching, Volume 1 and 2.
Wow.
And they're pretty thick. But what's so cool about these is that it is a anthology of history's greatest preachers. So I think it starts with, Peter. No, it goes Paul, Peter, Melito of Sardis. I mean, you've got Origen, Ephraim, Basil, John, Augustine. So it goes through kind of these history, just chronological. This one ends with the revivalists. I think it's like Jonathan Edwards, John Wesley, and then George Whitefield. And so then the second one, looking at this now, it picks up, let me see, which I'm in the first one. I haven't gotten the second one yet. It picks up with 19th century European preaching. Wow. I mean, it's got Spurgeon in that first part one. But I mean, I think it's like 50 different preachers in this one.
Wow.
But then it goes to 19th century North American preachers. So it's got Finney, Philip Brooks, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday. And then it goes into 20th century preachers, Karl Barth, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, John Stott, and then North American. Anyway, and then it ends, I think the latest it's got is like Billy Graham, J.I. Packer is the last preacher that's in this. And so what it does, sorry, I'm nerding out about this a little bit.
It's okay.
It gives their historical background of the context in which they preached. It gives kind of their theology on homiletics and preaching, which is awesome. Then it gives kind of their contributions of the difference that they made in the sphere of homiletics and preaching in their own congregations or their own audiences. And then lastly, it gives a sample sermon of each preacher. Wow. And it kind of identifies, here's like, this is the quintessence of this preacher's preaching legacy.
Yeah.
So this, yeah, this is one of my favorite things. And so I'm actually—
super cool.
Yeah, it is. It's
That's a hefty read. No.
Well, it's cool because I'm reading it at a coffee shop with two other preacher friends of mine. And so we'll just read it sometime in the week. And then we come on Thursday mornings at Wayfinder Coffee. And we just kind of process, what did you underline? What did you think was cool? What can you learn in your preaching ministry and stuff like that? So it makes it a little easier because we're discussing it. But yeah, it's a deep dive into the history of preaching. So that's my area of interest.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Last category. This would be a book that you kind of keep coming back to. One that for whatever reason you want to reference again, or it's like, oh man, I love reading this book. Yeah. That you would recommend for our audience.
Yeah. I did bring this one. And it's a book by John P. Harrigan called The Gospel of Christ Crucified.
Yes.
Which is A Theology of Suffering Before Glory. So, good sense of that.
I was also going to bring this book, but I almost knew for a fact that you were.
Yeah.
So I had to change my answer, but ditto on that one.
This book kind of rocked my world, my theological world. He challenges, first of all, it's a big sweeping overview of biblical theology, essentially. That begins with like worldview and moves on to major themes through the Bible and essentially the shape of the biblical narrative from beginning to end, protology, creation, to eschatology, new creation. And he kind of does what my other recommended book, Arkindle Solon, is working on with biblical narrative, incorporating Israel's story as fundamental and essential, and continuing even. So he really challenges a lot of some of the mainline academic presuppositions about the kingdom of God, realized eschatology, the day of the Lord, stuff like that, and really argues heavily for understanding the New Testament and the Bible with a Jewish apocalyptic framework.
That's awesome. Yeah. I first got turned on to John Harrigan when I was listening to the Apocalyptic Gospel podcast, which is a fantastic podcast, better than this one, even, dare I say.
Shout out Apocalyptic Podcast, man, guys.
Maybe we'll get them on the show sometime. That'd be awesome.
That'd be sweet.
But John Harrigan is also a graduate of Asbury Theological Seminary.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. So that's one of the reasons, in fact, that we chose to go to Asbury, because we were like, whoa, John Harrigan went there.
Yeah.
And I ditto. That book will rock your world.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep.
Okay, mine, a classic, and that is by the late Timothy Keller. We miss you, Tim. his book on prayer is seminal. It's just, it's awesome. So I've gone back through this. I rarely read a book twice, almost never. In fact, I had to read for one of my classes, what was it? When Helping Hurts by Corbett. I forget, Fickler and Corbett. I forget what their names are, but I read that earlier and I was so annoyed that I had to read a book again because there's just so many books, like you were saying, that are on my kind of to-do list that I'm like, I don't have time to read a book twice. Especially, I mean, that book is good. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, I understand the concepts. However, this is a book that I would reference, again and would read over again. I haven't read it fully over again, but I've referenced it, a couple times now, just because I think that, prayer is so important, and just central in the life of a Christian. And yet it is surprising how few books are like just written classically on prayer.
Yeah.
You get a lot of books, like fringe books that talk about prayer, but not ones that are just like, this is prayer. You know, this kind of covers the scope of what a life of prayer should look like.
Mm.
And it, to me, it's the best one on the subject of prayer. So
very nice. Very nice.
That's my recommendation.
We'll have to read that. We'll have to read each other's books.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And here's the deal. This, you can watch this video on YouTube if you're listening. We probably should have said that in the beginning. You can watch this
episode.
But also, we will put the links for these books in our show notes with the transcript. I'll put it right up on top so you guys can find these books. But yeah, closing thoughts on maybe just how to engage lots of kinds of reading, especially as a seminary student, you know, finding the time to read, that type of thing. What are your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah. I think it's, I mean, you do a lot of reading when it's something you're really interested in. That always helps me. Yeah. So, but reading things or books that you wouldn't normally read is really valuable.
Right.
So in seminary, you're going to come across, I mean, you'll have classes where you're going to read like five books or something. And it's like, well, I've never imagined myself reading any of these books or something along those lines, you know. And there's a lot of value in coming in contact with different ideas and different writing styles and stuff like that, that can be really shaping.
That's a great point, is you don't want to get yourself in a echo chamber of books, right?
Yeah, if you read only things that you like or agree with, you know, then you're just going to only stay within that,
right,
that sphere. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely reading things that were uncomfortable for me have been some of the most shaping and forming, given me the most pause for thought. I mean, we were talking about our Kendall Solon. He wrote an article about using the divine name and how, anyway, maybe I'll link that as well, that article. I don't know if it's for free, but if it is, I'll link where you can find that. But that was super challenging recently, Joe, that you sent me.
Yeah.
And it was uncomfortable because I was like, oh, snap, I'm from a tradition that uses the Tetragrammaton, the divine name. And he challenges that and says, yeah, you should think twice before you do that. So that was,
That's a little teaser to read the article.
It's good. It's so good. Yeah. But yeah, just stuff like that, I think challenging your thoughts are really important. I'd also say kind of on like, how do you get to reading so much is learning a little bit of speed reading is super valuable. Or like for some people, that's audiobooks, right? Yeah. And there are books that I would do. Right now I'm doing, what is the name of that book? I shouldn't put myself on the spot. The Way of the Dragon, The Way of the Lamb. And it sounds like a Bruce Lee book, The Way of the Dragon. But it's about abuses.
Cool.
It is. It's really cool. It's about abuses of power in the church and kind of following either the world's model of what power looks like or the Lamb, Jesus's model of what power looks like and how that comes to bear on church. But I don't have time to read it, so I bought it on Audible and I'm just listening to it when I'm driving or whatever. So yeah, there are those little shortcuts of like learning how to speed read, doubling the amount that you can read. And that's actually really easy. It's not that impressive, to be honest. But look up, maybe we'll do an episode on that. But those kind of little hacks to try to get more content in. Because if you're only reading like a book a month, you got to be really selective in what you're going to read that year. Versus if you can read and fit more in, schedule more time, you could get four times that amount of content easily within the same year. And I think that's really valuable.
And in seminary, sometimes you're reading a book in 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, not like huge books, but sometimes smaller books you're reading in a book in 2 weeks. And so, I mean, one recommendation that I would have, and for our generation and the future generations, is we have such an issue with having social media.
Yeah.
We're on our cell phones a lot. Like that cuts into our time like crazy. Yeah. Way more than we expect until you look at your, you know, screen time data on your phone and you're like, I spent 8 hours on my phone this week. That's 8 hours you could spend reading, you know.
Totally.
You can easily get through books a lot faster if you spend even that small amount of time reading. Like,
yeah. Last tip I would give, not a tip as much as just a healthy principle that we should all live by, is your reading of other books should not eclipse your reading of the Word of God. Yeah. Sometimes I have fallen into the bad mental paradigm of like, oh man, I read like 4 Christian books this week. Like that counts as my devotional time or my time with the Lord or my time in the Word, and like replacing that. Mm. And that's not good. And I knew it wasn't good, but we can easily justify that when, especially you're in seminary and you're reading all of these, like, I'm like, man, I'm doing hermeneutics and the book of Mark. That counts as, no, it doesn't. And so just having that sacred space, it is the book above all other books, you know, and so therefore it really should be the first that we're going to and that we carve out special time for that. But
and to bring it full circle, that's why you get a nice Bible that you want to read.
Amen. Amen. Cue the music. What do you guys think? What are some of your favorite books that you would recommend in any of those categories? Academic, pleasure reads, ones that you think are just good Christian formation books. Let us know on the Facebook or Instagram post of this episode in the comments. And make sure to subscribe to the show. If you found this useful, maybe suggest it to some friends. Visit us at our website, seminarian.life. And if you go to this episode, like I mentioned before, in the show notes, we will have all the links where you can purchase these books. We don't get any money from that. It's not an affiliate thing for us. But thanks so much for joining the conversation. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.